Okay. Good morning. Today we're going to a study that's probably been done here 10 years ago by Pastor Lasley. And it's out of the Rightly Dividing the Word, but it tails in on the end of our study last week when Christ arose again. And we know from that lesson that the Bible says he ascended and descended, and we're going to talk about what he did during that time, try to use God's Word and analyze what was going on below the earth and above in heaven and all that went on during that time. Christ had done so much for us during that time. Now, did everybody get one of those little handouts that we printed off of Larkin's book? That it's an illustration of heaven and hell there and all that's going on there. That little illustration is good to give you an understanding of things that we'll be talking about. And I'm just going to talk about heaven today. We'll start with that, and then next week we'll go deep. We'll go down into hell, or a couple other names that hell's called in today's world. But anyway, that's what we're going to be doing today. So you can look at your illustration there in a minute. We'll talk a little bit about that. But let's get started with a word of prayer. And Harold just mentioned he has a friend that has cancer in an eye, and he may lose his eye. So we need to think about that this morning. As we pray, many others' needs, talking about Pat there continuously. Pat Shaw is just working through her shoulder and this and that and the other. It just, Joe just says it's one thing than the other, but just difficult dealing with pain. And others we know of too, dealing with pain in our church and cancer and on and on. Many, many things need to be prayed for. But anyway, y'all keep those things in your heart. I know you do. I know you pray. I appreciate your prayers for Debbie. Many people mention that to me and her, and we thank you for that. And God is blessing how she's been tolerating the treatments and things. God's good, folks. And he's answered prayer for Debbie and I, and we praise his name for that. And there's the young crowd right there just stepped in. And there's the youngest member of the class. How old is your baby? 5 months? There you go. I don't think we've got a younger one in here than that. So anyway, they're faithful. She's faithful, always here. And then those three ladies sitting there, they've been faithful. And we thank you all. And folks is gradually coming back. Hopefully the weather warms up, we'll see more, and as this COVID thing goes away a little bit, just keep praying it just continues to go away, and the powers to be let it go away. So a lot to pray about. Yes, ma'am. Okay, thanks. All right. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. And thank you for your grace toward us. God, you're a great and almighty, powerful God. And we thank you for how you have in control of heaven and hell. Christ, when he finished on the cross, he took control of the keys of the grave and hell and heaven. He controls it all now because of your great power, your mercy on us, your salvation, and the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, Lord. We thank you for that. Now, Lord, we just pray for these many prayer requests here this morning that's been mentioned. Lord, you know all those things. We could pray for hours, Lord, and We pray that you touch each one of these situations, folks that need your help, need your grace. Lord, sometimes these illnesses are difficult to deal with, and it drives us down. And Lord, we just pray that you hold us up with your promises of heaven and a home there forever. God, we thank you so for what you're going to do, the place you're preparing for us, what you've already done. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing. Now, Lord, we pray for today here at church. Pray for these young people as they sing and present music today. Lord, I pray that that'll touch hearts, help the preaching to change lives, Lord, with your power and your word. Lord, again, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, just take a quick peek there at your chart, and I'll show you where we're going to kind of start on that today. And like I say, this comes right out of chapter 26 of Rightly Dividing the Word. And we can see that we can talk about heaven, and we can look right above earth where it says first heaven, second heaven, and then you've got the third heaven, which is the heaven where God is. So the first heaven is the atmosphere of this earth, and the second heaven is the stars in the sky. And then the third heaven is where God and Christ is today. So we can see back the first line there on where it says heavenlies. We can look at that kind of being. You can see on that timeline, there's kind of a timeline across the earth there. And you see where it says the flood, and then you come up there, and there's a line going up, and it says the righteous souls Christ delivered from the underworld. Now, we're going to talk about that some next week, but we're kind of starting there today. I'm going to start in paradise in heaven, in the third heaven, and talk about the place that God has prepared for us and is preparing. So we'll get the top part of this thing done today and try to get a grip around heaven, which we all believe in heaven. But folks, there is a survey that was done in 14 by this agency called the Pew Institute. They do all kinds of human studies in our country and in the world. And they looked at general groups that how they believed about heaven and hell. And if you look at, they tagged a bunch of churches under Christian belief. And that people under that, that's our church, fundamental churches, Southern Baptist, American Baptist, and on and on and on. In the military, they used to tag it Protestant or Catholic. There was just two divisions. It was on your, that was on your dog tags or on your ID. And today, we're more diverse than that. But under the Christian church, 67% of the people believe that there is a hell. Now, why wouldn't the rest of them believe that? 82% of them believe there's a heaven. I've believed there's a heaven since I was saved at 13. There's a generation or two or three out there that just have not been taught. And we think, well, I don't understand that because I've believed that all my life. I believe that I have faith that there is a heaven and I'm going there. But we can see from this, and this was done in 2014, you ain't no telling what it is today. And then you take non-Christian beliefs. That's all the other beliefs you can stack up that's in this country. Now, this is in the United States. And only 31% of them believe that there's a hell. And only 47% of them believe that there's a heaven. Then you look at the people that are unaffiliated with any church in society today. Only 27% of them believe that there is a hell. And only 37% of those folks believe there is a heaven. So you throw all those things together here in the U.S., and the average is 58% of the people believe there is a hell. And 72% of the people believe there's a heaven. It's a sad fact that we have a society today that believe what they want to believe. I believe this is true in my mind, so it's true. There is, they can say, I believe that, why would a good God send somebody to a place that they're going to burn up forever and hurt forever? I don't believe that. I can't believe that God would do that, because he supposedly, you say that God is a good God. So they fix that in their mind and their belief, and that's what they believe, and they're being taught stuff in these colleges today. And folks, there's some danger even going on in grade schools today with some of the things that's being taught. That you see on the news now, people are starting to back away from school systems and go to private schooling and Christian schooling and things that this great country was established on. That there is a God. There is a heaven. There is a hell. It's not being taught. People don't want to hear the bad part of it. How can there be a hell? And then how can there be a heaven? There can't be one without the other, because we know from day one, God explains that the devil was the prince and the power of the air of this heaven that we have, what we call the first heaven here. He roams about freely, and he confuses people's hearts and minds. He is the author of confusion. So without a good church grounding, without a good family grounding background, we've got generations now that have no church background. You know, it's, we're all of the age to where we can understand that 50, 60 years ago, where our society was, I can remember in the late 50s, early 60s, when they quit praying in grade school, when they took the Bibles off their desk, when they took prayer out of school. It kind of all started then. The devil was attacking our country and the foundations it was set up on. So we know all those things, and we ought to be able to speak up loudly when we get an opportunity. We can speak loudly with our vote today, folks. If people just think about what they're voting for, who they're voting for in today's society, if you just get a little different, get a little deeper and get off the surface and quit listening to the media pounding your ears with stuff and say, what does that person stand for? I think we'd do better by just doing that right there. We'd get us ahead of the ball game a little bit. Much less get people in church. Does everybody have one of these handouts? I saw you guys come in late. Do you want one? Y'all have one? Okay. Everybody got one? Okay. We have to get a grounded understanding of what's going on. I started looking in one of my favorite books in the Bible is Ephesians, and it talks about in chapter 1 and 2 a lot about salvation, a lot about heaven, and God preparing a place for us. And it says in Ephesians chapter 1, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us in heavenly places. We're talking about heaven here. According as he hath chosen us in him from the foundations of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated. Now, don't let that word mess you up. Having be predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, that predestinating is talking about God set everything up for us. He set the Holy Spirit up. He set heaven up. He set the ability for us to be saved. It was not predestinating us to be saved, because we have a free will. Does everybody understand that free will thing? We make that decision in our hearts, in our soul, in our mind, whether we're saved, whether we've trusted Christ or not, from what his word says. So it's not, a lot of people like to take that predestination thing and go off on a rabbit trail and say, well, you can veer off into Calvinism really quick with that. And we're not going to go there. That's another whole teaching we could talk about later on, Calvinism. But anyway, it talks about that he has prepared a place there in heaven. And then on into, I mean, I could read this whole thing. It's so good. You know, in down in verse 13 is another verse I really like. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. See, people's got to hear the truth. What's the truth today? It's this Bible. It's this word. It's not what I think, you think, they think, what the politicians think, or what the media thinks. It's what God's word says is the truth. We've lost the facts of the truth in this society today. We need to keep hammering people the truth, the truth, the truth. What is the truth? Young people, don't ever veer off the truth. God's word, hold it dear, read it, understand it. Okay, let me get back to that. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. One of them things that Christ did that day on the cross, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, prior to the cross, if you remember, he would go and come as God allowed unto the prophets. God would give him power through the Holy Spirit. God would give him that power. And after that, remember, he told the disciples, go back to Jerusalem and I'll see you in a couple weeks. And I'm going to sit down and have dinner with you, and I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to dwell on you richly. And they went out of that room and preached, and thousands of people got saved because they had the Holy Spirit on them richly. Well, I like to have him on me richly. I think if we really had it on us richly, that word richly means so much depth. Preachers have the Holy Spirit richly bestowed on them if they connect into this word, and God's power richly gives them the ability to preach and teach and use the word to touch our hearts and minds. So it's sealed by the Holy Spirit. Oh, then so much, you just read this Ephesians sometime, you get time. And you go down to chapter 2 there, verse number 6, he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Another verse that says he did it in Jesus Christ. He made us to be able to sit in heavenly places. We've got a seat at the table, folks, in heaven. God is preparing us a mansion, the Bible tells us. Then one of the favorite verses for everybody there is verse 8. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift, folks. Heaven's a gift. Salvation's a gift. We are His workmanship. The next verse says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I'm going to get all, I need to go to some other verses. I could read those two chapters and just go on and on. So God created this. God set it all up from the day one, from the beginning, the foundations, from eternity in the past. There is no beginning. It's eternity in the past, eternity in the future for God. It's forever, ever fixed. We have a place in heaven. Those of us that are saved are going to go to heaven when we die. When we close our eyes in this world, absent from the body, present with the Lord, it's what the Bible says. Do you believe that? Have you ever wrapped your heart and mind around that? If you've ever been at the bedside of a loved one and see them go on, and know that they're in a better place. You know it. Praise the Lord. You know it. And I'm sorry. That's because of what Christ did on the cross that day. It was fixed. It was done. He said it was done. Now, folks, so we looked at these three atmospheres. We looked at these three heavenly places. In Acts 14:17, nevertheless he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. So right there it's talking about heaven. That's the atmosphere, the clouds. You know, when we go to heaven, you know, we've all seen these silly movies or cartoons or what, and these people walking around on clouds and bouncing around, jumping and flying through the clouds. No, that's not it. You know, it's heaven. It is a place. It's way above the clouds. It's way above the clouds. And then we look at the starry heaven is a heaven that is part of the second heaven. It's a place that God talks about fixing the stars, and we see the angels come and see them in that heaven, in the clouds, and then that's where Christ is coming back. This next time he comes, he's not going to come all the way to earth. We know he's going to come in the clouds, be up high. Not on earth, not in heaven, but in between there somewhere. Because we see him there, and he doesn't touch down to heaven, to earth at that time. And then we look at God's heaven. The third heaven is called in the Bible. Paul said he was caught up to the third heaven. We can look at 2 Corinthians 12:2. What does that say? I don't have that one written down here. Anyway, talks about a heavenly place, where the place we will be together. Heaven is a Bible name for heavenly or heaven. We sometimes shorten it here with our southern talk. Heaven is a real place. John 14:2 says, In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's Christ speaking. It's a real place. There he is. He said, my Father's house there are many mansions. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So we see Christ giving us encouragement, saying that we will be with him in heaven. One way or the other, if you're saved, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you will be in heaven. I think we all would like to be raptured. I think we'd all like to be at that point to where we're sitting around someday and we just blink our eyes and in a twinkling of an eye, we're with Christ in heaven. But then again, I have no fear of death. I know we all get old and get aches and pains and go through that because of this sinful earth. The earth is dying, we are dying, everything around us is under the curse. But folks, we have the heaven to look forward to. So it's a real place. It's a real place. He goes to prepare a place for us, he says. Heaven is a perfect place. In Revelations 21, 27, there shall be no wise entered into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's not going to be any wickedness there, according to that verse right there. And they shall bring, at the verse before that, 26, well, let's back all the way up. Verse 20, let's go to 24. And the nations of them which, now that word nations means nationalities, okay, in this case. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it, and the gates of it shall not be shut all of the, by day. There shall be no night there. We know there's never, it's going to be unending day, the light of God. And they shall bring the glory and honor of all the nations unto it, the nationalities. So we're going to bring honor to it because God bestowed the Holy Spirit on us. And when God looks at us right now, he looks at righteousness. We are his children. We have an inheritance in heaven because of what Christ did on the cross. You and I own a mansion in heaven. What a wonderful thing. And the thing about it is, it's so big, it's so extensive, it's so far above us all. In this mortal body that we have and our brains can't think. You just can think so far about it and your mind just drops off. But it's there. We know it's there. If you've got the Holy Spirit dwelling within your heart, you know it's there. Don't you feel it? Haven't you felt it? Don't you understand it when you read it? We are a blessed bunch to be able to have that, feel that, know that. Because that the statistics that I read there a while ago says that there's only 58% that believe there's only 72% that believes there is even a heaven. And that's across the whole thing. And some of those were way down. Some of those other groups of churches, only 47% of them believe there is a heaven. What do they think? I don't understand that. What does folks think? I mean, some of those folks have come to my door knocking and saying, do you need to believe this? Well, you can get the word out, and really, they can't answer the questions. They are blinded by the devil, blinded by false doctrine. The Bible says we're just like grass blowed in the wind, or waves in the ocean that's blowed to and fro by false doctrine. We are blowed this way and that way. Folks, we need to be grounded. Grounded in the Word. Grounded in what you know is the truth. And be able to turn in the Bible and show somebody what is the truth of your salvation. What is the truth of heaven and hell, which we'll talk about next week. So it's a perfect place. It is a home for the saved. You know, therein, I need to quit saying you know. When you speak, you don't want to say that. But anyway, you know. I guess that's just a creak in me. Can't get it out. So it says there in verse 21, in Revelations 21, 24, again, they shall walk in the light. It is the home of the saved. It is a permanent city. In Hebrews 13, 14, it says, "For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come." We don't have anything permanent here, folks. We can look back at history. We can look back at ancient history. Well, recent ancient history, I guess, in the last 2,000 years. So many places have just, they don't even exist. There is nothing permanent in this world. You know, I drive through southern West Virginia and Virginia and the coal fields, and it's not what it was 50 years ago when you had all the beautiful coal camps and well-kept buildings and company stores and alive commerce at the time. Today, there's very little left. There's one place I drove through just a week ago, and it's just all deteriorating. It's all falling to the ground. And some of it was so far gone you couldn't even realize that it was even there. I pulled up some 1940 mind maps and had them scanned, and I was looking for the particular buildings that may be near what I was getting ready to do. There's nothing there. Gone. Got out and walked, just remnants, pieces of this or that, of somebody's life that used to live there, totally gone. That's this world, folks. There's nothing permanent. There's nothing that I've got, you've got, or anybody's got that's going to be here 100 years from now. But we know that heaven is forever and ever because God made it. God made it. He didn't make something temporary. He makes something permanent forever and ever. It's a different realm. It's not physical. It's spiritual. It's forever and ever. It's a permanent city that he has for us. A continuing city. One that's going to go on and on. No decay. No falling apart. Everybody's kind. Everybody loves. No disease. No hurt. No pain. I mean, I could just about jump for joy on any of that. It's good stuff, folks. And that's where we're heading. And I hate to tell you, but this crowd that's in here right now, we're probably closer to it than anybody. That's just facts. Except that one little fella on the back row there. But we could all be close. We don't know. Jesus may come in the sky today. We all just rapture out of here, and that little fella go with us. I'm looking forward to it. Just turn on the news. Who wants to listen to it all? So heaven has a place of many mansions. Jesus said it so. In my Father's house there's many mansions. We read that a while ago. Folks, it's not a room. It's not some little old creek. I like cabins down by the creekside. It's not a creekside cabin, which that'd be fine with me as long as it's there in heaven. No, it's a mansion. What can you imagine a mansion to be? God tries to describe it for us. talking about the streets of gold and this and the diamonds and the rubies and all the stuff that we can comprehend. He's explained it that way. So we can get a kind of get a grip on it that he's building the best place he knows how to build. Well, I just, as an architect, as an engineer, I trust God that he really is building something fantastic. I can't wait to see it. Can't wait to be there. Well, I can wait a little longer, I guess. We all want to go, but we don't we? It's funny how we feel. We want to hold on. I think you're holding on to loved ones, seeing our grandbabies. It's all good when you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. It's all good, folks. You know, some of us desire to be there today. Some of us says, well, I'd like to be here a little longer. Heaven has sweet music. It says we're going to be singing there in Revelations 5:11. And I beheld and held and heard a voice of many angels around about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000, 10,000s, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings." Now, folks, there's going to be some shouting going on. I know most of the time we sit in the seat and we're pretty quiet. We'll raise our hand every once in a while. And I can tell you right now, I feel like getting up shouting every once in a while. I think the pastor, he'd probably just leave if I stood up and started shouting. If he'd point to me and let me, I'd shout. I'd probably start preaching about something, about how good God is and what he's prepared for us. Folks, it's going to be a place of perfect knowledge. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known." Folks, we see just part of it right now. I've always liked that verse, and I like to think, you know, you're looking through an old, you ever go up to some old building and the glass is wrinkled? You know, it's old timey glass that was poured on a hard surface and made. Or it may be smoky or dusty, and you just can't hardly see. That's the way it is right now, folks. We're looking for a place that is hard to imagine, hard to see right now. But folks, it's going to be crystal clear that day. I won't need my contacts, and I won't need these. I have my new eyes, and I'm going to see it. I'm going to understand it. We're going to have some knowledge about what's going on and why it went on. And a lot of things we ask now are earthly questions. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? That may not even matter when we get there. What's going to matter is, where's he at? Where's Jesus at? I need to see him real quick. Then after that, we're going to say, I want to see that missionary Paul. Man, that guy started some stuff I love. Been on a few missionary journeys, but that guy really did some missionary journeys. And on, people I'm going to want to see, and Moses, and ask him stuff, and David, and on, all those characters that we love in the Bible. You know, going to want to sit down by the tree of life and the river and talk for a couple of eternities. It's going to be good, folks. We don't see it now, don't understand it all now, but we will then. We will then. What a place it's going to be. And in verse Revelations 22:3 says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now, we're going to have some things to do. You know, I remember Preacher Lashley preaching from right here years ago saying, well, during the thousand-year reign, I hope he lets me be the mayor of Gray, Tennessee, so I can go down here and shut this place down here. Remember that, Preacher? We're going to have something to do for Christ if it's just standing around praising, raising our hands and playing a harp or singing or whatever. We're going to have some service to do. And I think that's a good thing. I'm looking forward to that. Because I ain't going to have no bad back no more. I can run and shout really big then, if that's what God wants me to do. I'm looking forward to that service. I'd look forward to being co-mayor with Preacher Lashley of Gray. Anyway, fun things to think about. Place of service. And then, this is big. A place of no suffering. 21:4, Revelations 21:4. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now get a hold of that. You got the backache or the knee ache? Somebody you love got cancer? No more of that. No more of that. What a wonderful place. Praise his name, what he's prepared for us. Praise his name. And I believe it because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to me. I believe it. And the top tops the cake off is the place where Jesus is. He's going to be there. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. We will see his face. What a wonderful... It's beyond speaking. I don't have the tongue to describe it. How wonderful it will be. You've got to get that in your own heart and sift through that. You will see Christ's face. How are you going to act? What are you going to say? I mean, we all have something. Think about that. But you know, it's hard to think past a certain point. You just get there and he's given us enough to know that it's a wonderful place it's going to be. We just got to praise his name for what he's done, folks. Praise his name for what he's done. We know that the first experience after death, we have stories in the Bible, and we're going to talk about the rich man Lazarus next week and what happened in that situation. And it talks about Lazarus dying, and instantly he was in the arms, I think it was Moses, and he was there instantly. I think we're going to be really surprised at death. Now, this is my opinion. When we close our eyes here, we wake up in heaven. We know that's a truth. And we know from that story of the rich man Lazarus that the angels carried him. I believe they're going to carry us too to that place. And there's going to be an instantaneous transfer of our feelings, our knowledge. The glass that we're looking through darkly is going to disappear instantaneous. The pain is gone instantaneous. And we'll be in the presence of God. Now, there's a lot going to happen in heaven during the seven-year tribulation period. And we'll talk a little bit about that. We can see that on the chart. But we're going to be there, and we're going to experience that. No matter what happens now, whether we're raptured out or we go through the grave to get there, God has promised that that judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb and getting on them white horses and coming back to earth for 1,000 years, we are going to experience that. That's going to be an exciting time, seeing Christ lead all that and all that's going to happen. And he's going to take care of business here finally on earth and lock the devil up for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. And then after the 1,000-year reign, we know that he marches up to the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment, and he's cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. We're going to get to see all that. We're going to get to be part of all that. What a wonderful promise that we have to see that, because we live in this old sinful world and we've seen it, what's done to our bodies and what it's done to our loved ones and what it's done to the world. God didn't create this place to fall apart like it is right now. I'm going to have to quit. I've run out of time. So I hope I've tried to do heaven justice this morning. I can't do any better than that. I'm just an old creek boy from West Virginia. That's all I am. But with Christ, with the Word of God, gives us an image through that glass darkly of what it's going to be. And it's going to be a wonderful place. And I think about a bunch of songs that's in our songbook that we could sing. But anyway, let's be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. Thank you for all you've did. Thank you for heaven, a home that you've prepared. Thank you for that Holy Spirit and what you did for us on the cross. Lord, we're going to speak more about that next week. Lord, give us a good day. Lord, bless the preaching, bless the word, help it touch hearts and change lives. Help these young people to sing wonderful today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.